The title of today's sermon is Teamwork. And I put the emphasis in the title on the last part of that word, the work part, that God the Father and Jesus Christ are doing together. This is the teamwork of God the Father and Jesus. And it's very important, brethren, for us to understand this well-defined biblical concept. It's spelled out very well in the Scriptures. And I wanted to speak on the work of God. That is part of the title that we'll be looking at today, the work of God, because there are those who claim that they are the ones doing the work of God, and they are at the forefront of the work. They maintain that they are doing the primary work of God in the earth today. In fact, they say that so often that many of you may think that being on TV, producing literature, is the work of God. It's been said many, many times by many people. But brethren, that is not the work of God, not the biblically defined work of God. It's the work of men. Now sometimes it is effective and sometimes it is good. But the work of God is much more grand than that. So let's be careful not to redefine what God has clearly spelled out in the Scriptures. And so let me ask this question. What is the work of God? We desperately need to know what God is doing. The work of God is His creation. But the creation of what? We read in Genesis 1:26, brethren, you all know this one probably by heart. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let men have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth," and so forth. It goes on. Let's understand something very clearly, brethren. We, mankind, we, even the people in the church of God, we are not a completed creation without the love of God and the life of God within us. People think, "I'm made in the image of God. God is like me." Well, that's not the right way to think about it, brethren. The implication is, I am like God. Well, that misses the mark, because we come far short of being like God. And that is the intent of the Scripture. In our image, after our likeness, means that God is creating us to be as He is, like He is. God's not like us. We're to be like God is. What is the image and likeness of God? Understanding that God is making us into His character, His love, and that He intends for us to one day be spiritually born, fully spiritually born, into the very family of God, is what gives us the right perspectives on our lives. So what is God like? God is all goodness. God is all love. That's what He is. God is love. And let me interject here, brethren, that the love that we hear about every day, you know, Hollywood love, or the love in musical lyrics, has nothing to do whatever, with the concept of godly love. If love is only a good feeling, an emotional feeling, why is it that all too often that kind of love ends up in jealousy, divorce, broken homes, and sometimes worse? It's because that kind of love lacks a very vital component. We use that word, L-O-V-E, we use that kind of language for everything. I love ice cream. I love the weather yesterday. That's not what we're speaking about when we speak of the love of God. We need to have a good grasp, a good handle on what the love of God is. God is all goodness. That's what He is. God is love. That's what He is. God's love is justice and fairness and happiness and security and peace in our lives. God's love is abundant life. It is even eternal life. And since God is love, we need to understand what the love of God is. And even more than that, we, you and I, brethren, must become the love of God as God is love. Now, that's a difficult concept. Become the love of God. The Bible says that God is love. And we'll turn to some of those scriptures today. And we need to mark that in our Bibles and try to understand what it means. I have it underlined in my Bible, written out in the margin so that it jumps off, because there are three very small words. God is love. Okay, I understand that this concept of we must become the love of God is a difficult concept. How can we become the love of God? Let's go over to Galatians chapter 3. And the answer is this, brethren. Here's how we become the love of God. We must put on Christ. Okay, there's another difficult way of saying something. Again, what does that mean, to put on Christ? We see in Galatians 3 and verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, Paul puts it this way, have put on Christ. Now, let me explain by way of clarification, brethren. You can put on a football uniform. You put on the helmet. You put on the shoulder pads. You put on the jersey and so forth. But does that make you a football player? No, it doesn't. You look like a football player. You have the likeness of a football player, but you're not a football player. Why not? It's because you haven't been recruited. You haven't done the training. You haven't attended the practices. You haven't been given the talent. You haven't learned the plays. You haven't done the hard workouts. You only look like a football player. Putting on Christ is like that. It means that we need to take on the very nature of Christ. Jesus is totally sacrificing. And he does that for the sake of God's plan. He was persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus hungered and thirsted after righteousness. Okay? We have to say, have I put on Christ? Do I find myself persecuted for righteousness' sake? Do I hunger and thirst for the things of God? Jesus Christ is totally forgiving. You know, even when Jesus was being crucified, those that were crucifying him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't understand what they're doing. Have we put on Christ to the extent that we are that forgiving all the time, every day, in every case? Jesus, we find, reading the scriptures, he was completely, totally merciful. He said to sinners, even caught in the act of adultery, go and sin no more. Do we have mercy? Jesus was a peacemaker. Are we peacemakers? Have we put on Christ? Have we put on the love of Christ so that we are peacemakers? We know that Jesus Christ did not sin. Never once did he lie or steal or lust or fight or hate or take advantage of anyone. Now, that doesn't describe us, does it, brethren? Why? Why didn't Jesus do that? Because he had the perfect love of God in him. That was the difference. He was led of God's Holy Spirit. Now, when we become like that, then we have put on Christ, and we have put on his godly love. We will be love as God is love when we are like Christ. John chapter 6. The process of putting on Christ is the work of God. We need to put on Jesus Christ, as we just saw. That is putting on the love of God. And that's what God is making possible. So that is the work of God. It's the work that God the Father is doing, and it's the work that Jesus Christ is doing. We're talking about the teamwork. God the Father is doing it. Jesus Christ is doing it. As we go through the scriptures today, we'll see that we need to be on board. We need to be a member of the team. We need to be putting on love the same way. Now, here's the biblical definition here in John 6. This is the definition of the work of God. And brethren, those of you who use your Bible markers, you can put it here because we're going to come back here a little bit later. I just wanted to touch on this early in the sermon to establish what the definition from God's point of view in the scriptures of the work of God is. John 6 and verse 29, Jesus answered and he said unto them, "This is the work of God." Okay, what is it? "That you believe on him who he has sent." Now, to many people in the world, you know, we're supposedly a Christian nation, one of the Christian nations. But for most, the great, great majority of those people, that means that you believe that there was a guy named Jesus. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. You know, that's the depth of the belief that they have. That word believe is powerful. It's a powerful word that means have faith in. Put your total trust in. Yes, there's an element of trust in that word believe. Put your total trust in Jesus Christ. Depend on him for your life. Depend on him for your salvation. And notice the last part of that verse, brethren. Believe on him, or believe in him, Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. So we see in there that God the Father has sent Jesus Christ. And so that shows the teamwork of God the Father and Jesus Christ. God the Father is working hand in hand with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has all the attributes of God and he's working for God. We see that teamwork between those two. So again, we see this teamwork of God in our creative development. God the Father and Jesus Christ working together, creating us to be in their image and likeness, to have their love and their character. And we have to trust that God is working to bring us to the measure of Christ's fullness. And we also have to trust that God is also working to also bring other begotten children to that same love. You know, I'm not the only one. You're not the only one. God is bringing a number of people to put on Christ, to put on his character right now. But the world, it comes very short when it comes to knowing Jesus or God, trusting or believing, or even obeying Jesus Christ. The world does not obey Jesus Christ. And as a result, brethren, even in a nation like America or Great Britain, where we have relative peace and freedom, as a result of the world not knowing the love of God, we live in a world of meanness and hate and sin and war and death. Why? Because it takes godly love to have a nation that's different from that. We read in Romans 13:10, "Love works no ill to his neighbor." This is talking about godly love. "Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." Now, there we have a definition of love in Romans 13:10. It's the fulfilling of the law. That means the keeping of the Ten Commandments. And the keeping of the Ten Commandments as Jesus expounded on them. He expanded them. Not only do we not kill, but we don't fight. We don't argue. We don't hate. Not only do we not commit adultery, but there's no lusting. There's no coveting someone else's wife or bride or fiance and so forth. 1 John chapter 4. Where does godly love come from? Well, the Bible answers that question. It doesn't come naturally. Some people will even say, "I'm just naturally good. Being good comes easy to me." Brethren, godly love does not come naturally. We do not naturally possess the love of God. 1 John 4 and verse 7. Okay, this is a command to us by John, very endearing. "Beloved, let us love one another." Now notice what he says. "For love comes from God." We see where love comes from. It comes from God. We don't work it up ourselves. We don't develop it ourselves. We don't say, you know what, this would really be good if we treat each other according to God's perfect law. We don't naturally do that. Continuing in this verse, it says, And everyone that loves is begotten of God. That means that those in the world are not begotten of God because they don't have godly love. And they know God. Verse 8. He that loves not, and that's most of the world, knows not God. Again, we see the definition of God. For God is love. Now, that's one of the ones that you mark, brother. And that's one of the ones that you can underline, if you would. God is love. That's definitive. That's what God is. He's love. We have to become love, as Jesus is love. So, brethren, let's understand. The only way we even begin to appreciate how the love of God can be in our lives is through the teamwork of God the Father in Jesus Christ. Notice, continuing right here in 1 John 4. Now we come to verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Okay, how? Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. That's how the love of God was manifest, sending Jesus Christ, who is also the perfect love of God. He sent Him into the world that we might live through Him. And we have to put on the love of God, become the love of God, to put on Jesus Christ and to live through Him, as we see in verse 9. That's teamwork again. God the Father sending Jesus Christ for the express purpose of our being able to put on the love of God. We don't have it naturally. We can't say, well, I've been in the church 10 years, 12 years, 20 years, 40 years, therefore I must have a lot of the love of God. It doesn't automatically soak into us, brethren. It doesn't work that way. Notice that it is God the Father in Jesus Christ who are doing the work here. We can't make ourselves into their image. We can't make ourselves into their love. Because we simply, you know, with our finite minds, God is infinite, we are finite, very small, we simply don't have a grasp of perfect godly love. We don't know what it is, let alone have the ability, the personal ability or power to bring it to pass. We can't make it happen in us. You know, we'll carry a grudge. We'll carry a blame. We won't forgive, so forth. I'll mention some more of those in a little while. You can write some of them down. So, brethren, as far as we, the called out ones in God's church, are concerned, the work of God is God forming His love in us. That's what He's doing. He's working to form His love in us because we need it in our lives. That is His plan. We are being created in His image and His likeness. We don't look like God yet. We don't look like Jesus Christ yet. If we lined up the goodness, the mercy, the love, the forgiveness, the forbearance, the patience, the goodness of Jesus Christ, we don't measure up. We don't hold a candle, you know, to the brightness of the sun when it comes to that. We must become the image and likeness of God. God is love. Would any one of us dare to say, or even begin to say, I am love as God is love? It's foolish. You know, we wouldn't say, I'm as merciful and patient as God is. That would be blasphemy. I'm as forgiving and loving as God is. Brethren, we have not yet become the love of God. We have a long way to go. We're supposed to grow in grace and knowledge and be increased until we become, you know, the perfect character of Christ, it tells us in Ephesians. But let's go to Luke chapter 11. Have we become as saving, as helping, as giving, as serving as God? I think not. Luke 11, in verse 42, is the parallel verse to Matthew 23:23. Matthew 23:23 is one of those kind of memorized scriptures about the weightier matters of the law, of God's law, that we are to adapt or to adopt in our lives. Judgment, mercy, and faith. In other words, Matthew 23:23 tells us, you know, that we're to have justice, forgiveness, living, loving kindness and faithfulness. But here in Luke 11, in verse 42, Jesus told the Pharisees that they did not understand the love of God. This world doesn't understand the love of God either, brethren. Because, why? Because they had bypassed the love of God. They went right past it, just like when you miss your turnoff on the interstate. They bypassed the love of God. They didn't have it. They didn't have a token of it. Luke 11 and verse 42. And this is a condemnation. Jesus says, "But woe unto you Pharisees." Yes, you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. It's almost like when they would sit down to put some pepper on it. On their eggs, they would count out, you know, nine for me and one for God. All those little bitty things. They were so righteous. But notice what happens. And you pass over judgment, one of the weightier matters of the law. And you pass over the love of God. These ought you to have done, you know, tithing, and not leave the other undone. So, brethren, we see what the Pharisees did. They missed out on the love of God. Let's not miss out on the love of God. You know, for a long time in the church, we were taught the law. We were taught, you know, keep the Sabbath, don't eat pork, go to the feast. Brethren, we are to grow and to increase. Those were stepping stones. Those were shadows that would teach us the truth of God. Now that we are becoming mature, we need to fully, diligently work at putting on the love of God and not skip over the love of God as the Pharisees did. We'd be no different from the Pharisees today, except that God has called us to be gracious to us, to pour out His love on us. Putting on the love of God is a joint work project, a combined effort between God and us. Yes, we have our part to do. I'll give you a couple of scriptures in a little while that shows that, yes, we have our part to do. You know, and putting on the love of God, becoming in the image and likeness of God, doesn't happen in an instant. You know, it's not like, oh, I made the decision. I was saved at such and such a time on such and such a day. No, brethren, it doesn't happen in an instant, a day, a week, or a month. You know, what we're talking about today is not the stuff of altar calls where people give their hearts to the Lord. You know, that's a false, it's a flash in the pan. A kind of repentance and taking on God. That doesn't count. You know, most of us that I know in the Church of God, we've been called from some pretty rough backgrounds. You know, God's not calling the wise, you know, well-settled people of the world today. Brethren, have you felt the love of God in your life? Have you experienced the love of God as much as God intends us to experience it? And I think that I can answer unequivocally for all of us, no, we haven't. In every one of our cases, we haven't felt the love of God the way that we should. It is certainly difficult, if not impossible, for us to express the love of God toward others unless we first received and experienced the love of God for ourselves. You know, we have to be shown. We can't just go out, you know, when we were in the world and sinners in every way, we couldn't express the love of God. It was impossible. God had to come in and intervene in our lives and begin changing us from what we were. That's the active work of God that's going on in us. Through the teamwork of God the Father, sending His Son Jesus Christ to the earth, we can have the love of God instilled in us. It's a lot of work on God the Father's part. It's a lot of work. It has been and it still is on Jesus' part. And it's a lot of work on our part. When we learn to have godly love in us, God will then allow us to rule with Jesus Christ. But not until then. Luke chapter 19. In verse 17, God said, "Well done, you good and faithful servant, because you have been faithful in very little. Have authority over 10 cities. You know that scripture. And some he said 5, depending on how they use their talents and so forth. Let me ask you a question, brethren. Right now, if you inherited your 5 or 10 cities, how would you begin to instill the love of God in the citizens of your many cities? What would you do first? And here's the answer. First, you would teach them the Sabbath and the law of God. You teach them the Sabbath and how to keep it holy. Then, on each subsequent Sabbath day, you would teach them about God and the love of God as it's expressed in His rules, in His will, in His desire, His Ten Commandments. God's Ten Commandments begin to express the love of God. And the last six begin to express our love for our fellow man towards one another. And so in your cities, you would teach them to deal with the realities of life according to the love of God, according to the way of God. And you would teach them that sin, if it is not dealt with, if it's just swept under the rug, if we turn a blind eye to it, sin causes pain. It brings about heartache. It brings about ultimately death. 1 John chapter 3. Those people in your cities will have learned what they know about life today, the ones that you're going to teach. They will have learned and lived everything in a godless fantasy world, not knowing God, not knowing the love of God. Never will they have faced up to the real issues of life. And when you find them in your cities, they'll be trapped, many of them, in fearful relationships, unhappy existence. And some of them will just be living monotonous, humdrum lives. They need the love of God. We're not ready to teach people how to have the love of God. This world is terribly confused, off base, sinful, not knowing God. And since they do not know God, they need the love of God bestowed on them. Brethren, as we have so graciously had the love of God bestowed on us, we're coming out of that. We're turning our back on that. We're repenting of that. We're beginning to walk in the ways of God. We didn't do it ourselves. God worked to make that possible. There was teamwork between God the Father and Jesus Christ. Notice in 1 John 3 and verse 1. Behold what manner of love, we're talking about love today, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. So there it is in the Scriptures. God has bestowed love on us, that we should be called the sons of God. You know, His God, His children, the sons of God, with His Spirit, a token of His life in us. Therefore, the world knows us not. The world doesn't understand what we're doing. The world doesn't respond to what we're saying because it knew Him not. That's the way that verse ends. Now, we know that God loves us. God loves the brethren. Christ loves the brethren. When we have the love of God, when we have put on Christ bestowed on us, when we have God bestowed on us, we too will love the brethren because God loves the brethren. We're not going to go to John 3:16 where it says God so loved the world. If He loved the world, then He loves us. But do we love the others? Colossians chapter 3. See, we have to have Christ in us to be able to love others. That's Christ in us loving the brethren. We did not come by it naturally. We didn't just decide, you know what, I'm going to lay down my life for others. I'm going to go to the ends of the earth to save this people, to get him in good stead with God. Brethren, you and I, we are duty bound to love one another. And that's God dwelling in us. Because God is the one that loves. We don't. We don't have the love of God, except that God is bestowing it in us now. So if we love others, that's a gift of God. You know, and what happens is this. At first, we practice. And we don't do it so well. We make mistakes. We'll get angry. We'll be forgetful. We'll have oversight. We'll overlook things that we should take care of. So we learn. Then the love of God finally becomes perfected in us. So at first, we have to know God and the love of God to even start in the process. Colossians 3 and verse 9. Breaking into the middle of the verse here, towards the end of the verse it says, you have put off the old man and his deeds. Yes, brethren, hopefully we have repented. We have come out of the world. not totally, but, you know, we've made up our mind to do it, and with God's help we're doing it. We've put off the old man with his deeds. You know, it's like becoming the football player that I mentioned a while ago. This putting off of the old man with his deeds, it does require a lot of practice, a lot of hard work, a lot of diligent work on our part. And that's how we become, that's how we will become, as Jesus is, the love of God. That's how we become the love of God. Colossians 3 and verse 10. Okay, we've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge, notice this, after the image of him that created him. See, then we are renewed in the knowledge of the image. That's the love of God, the character of God. That's when we put on Christ, because God makes it possible. Turn back a few pages towards Colossians 1. Again, God the Father and Jesus Christ are making us into their image. They're the ones that are creating. This is their teamwork. They're creating their godly love in us. So first, we have to know God in the love of God before we can share it with anybody else. Paul is speaking of Jesus Christ here in verse 15. Colossians 1 and verse 15. Who, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God. Well, we're supposed to be being made into that image too. The firstborn of every creature. Now, we know that Jesus is exactly like God the Father. We see here that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's just like God. In fact, remember when Jesus said, if you've seen me, Jesus said, you've seen the Father. So, God is love. Jesus is love, as God is love. Please turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Just a few chapters towards the front of your Bible. Ephesians 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Over and over, brethren, I know there were years we didn't hear about the love of God, but it's all throughout the scriptures. It shows there, he loved us. Yes, God loves us. Do you know it? And there's a purpose in our learning to live every day. Loving as God loves. Every single day we should be loving the same way that God does. Ephesians 2 and verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ. So in the ages to come, brethren, we will possess, we will be godly love, and God will show that to others in the ages to come. God's going to show that, he says here, in the ages to come. He'll show that in the millennium. He'll show that in the great white throne judgment and beyond. If we have time, we'll talk about that some more today. God will show how we overcame Satan. You know, Satan had been directing our lives. He had been our father until we put off Satan. We overcame him and put on the love of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, the next verse. For by grace, that's God's goodness reaching out and something that we didn't deserve. You are saved through faith. That's trusting in what God is doing through Jesus. And not of yourselves. See, we don't get the love of God by ourselves. It's a gift of God. So here we are, miserable human beings in this earth, sinners, like the rest of the world. And through the grace of God, God reaches down and gives us this gift of God. We would have never become loving like God is on our own. We're too grudgeful or grudge-filled. We're unforgiving. We're merciless. We're full of resentment. That's naturally the way we are. We can't work up a love in ourselves. In fact, it says that here in Ephesians 2 and verse 9. Not of works. You know, I did it myself, lest any man should boast. No, it's God who is working to put his love in us. That's the work that he's doing. Ephesians 2:10. Notice, brethren, we're talking about teamwork today. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Yeah, there's no reason to boast. It's God who is doing the works. God, Jesus says, I work in my Father's works. I might give you that scripture in a moment. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 3, just turn over one page, brethren. And this is speaking about the unsearchable riches of Christ, things that are impossible to comprehend with our minds. Ephesians 3 in verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. You see, we're the children of God. We're becoming like God. We're putting on the love of God. And even the angels didn't fully understand the incredible plan of God. I think they saw it shaping up and they had to infer from what they saw what was happening. But God even wants the angels to know that He is giving us His godly love. Ephesians 3 and verse 10. To the intent that now, this is speaking of the angels, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. See, that's us. The world doesn't understand about angels, not for a moment. The manifold wisdom of God, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which He, as God the Father, purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We see that teamwork over and over. God the Father working through Jesus Christ. And we're to take up the baton and run with it too, brethren. Drop down to verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. So that's God in us. That's Christ in us. God is love. Christ is love. That's how we become love. That Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. What happens when Christ is living in us? Continuing in that verse. That you, being rooted and grounded in love. You see, how does that love get there? Christ dwelling in us. That's how we get rooted and grounded in love. Putting on all the attributes of Christ. Doing the things that Christ did. Verse 18. You may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Verse 19. And to know the love of God. That's what God is doing. That's why He's working this way. That so someday we will know the love of God. Because right now it surpasses knowledge, it says in verse 19. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Brethren, we're not yet made in the image of God. This takes a lot of diligence on our part, a lot of sacrifice on our part, a lot of giving, drawing near to God, and seeking God's way, that we will have this love of Christ that passes knowledge, goes way beyond what we can imagine. That's filled with all the love of God. How much do we still need to go forward, to proceed, and to increase? You know, what a magnificent thing God is working in us, that God is giving us, that God is bringing about, that God is working in us, causing us to have His love, to be love as God is love. Ephesians 3 and verse 20, next verse. Now unto Him, we're speaking of God the Father, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You see, God's all powerful. According to the power that works in us. That's what. So we see over and over this teamwork. God the Father working with Jesus Christ. And put this one in your notes, brethren. John 5 and verse 17. My Father is working until now, Jesus said. And I, speaking of Himself, am working. That was work, what Jesus Christ did. He didn't just, you know, mosey through life. Taking things as they came. It was hard for Jesus Christ to forgive. It was hard for Jesus Christ to be merciful. He didn't just go, oh, it's just naturally, I'll do it. Just like when a consequence comes upon us, to do the right thing is difficult. Now, someday, our character will be fixed, and it'll be perfect, and we will always choose right. But right now, it's difficult. It is work. 1 John chapter 4. Let me ask this question. How does godly love come about within the church of God? How do we get godly love in the church? We've seen eras of our church in our time when there was a dearth, when there was a great lack of love in the way people were treated, in the way that things were conducted in the Church of God. It's a byproduct of the love of God in each one of us, brethren. The answer for each of us is to submit to God's love for us. That is, you know, submit to being made in the image of God. And as that happens, we will automatically love others. God loves everyone. When God is in us, we will love everyone because God loves all. Again, John 3:16. Okay, I ask you to turn over to 1 John chapter 4. Let's begin in verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. For if we love one another, if it's conditional, not everybody does. If we love one another, then God dwells in us. And His love is being perfected in us. You know, you'll get your toes stepped on. You might even get your face slapped trying to love one another in a godly way. Forgiving, you know, dealing according to God's law. We won't do it perfectly at first, but His love is being perfected in us. God is developing His love in us. And if He's doing that, brethren, surely the love of God will be in our homes. If we're doing that, we'll bring the love of God into our workplaces. It'll be evident in our dealings with all people. Philippians chapter 1. We're to strive to exhibit the love of God with everyone that we come into contact with. And again, we are going to make mistakes. We're not going to do it perfectly at first. It does take work. It does take practice. And it takes patient endurance. We're not to give up on trying to exhibit and to share the love of God. Philippians 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He, this is God the Father, which has begun a good work in you. So there we see it again. God's begun a good work in us. By what's He doing? He's creating in us the image of His love. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And brethren, we have a part in this work. 1 Corinthians 15. That's the resurrection chapter. But I want you to notice verse 58. Therefore, this is 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're supposed to be doing this all the time. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We work, brethren, to put on the love of God. We don't just sit back and say, you know what, I got baptized 18 years ago, if that love of God's coming on me. No, we have to work at it. When we see something's wrong, we don't say, oh my, let God fix it. I sure don't want to get my hands dirty. No, we get involved. John chapter 6. And so far today we've seen a lot of how God makes His love available for us. But let's understand, brethren, we have our part. We have our work to do also. We are a part of the team. We want to be. We want to be a part of that teamwork. Now we're going to go back to John chapter 6 that I quoted one verse out of, the definitive verse earlier on. But let's begin in verse 26. Jesus answered and said unto them, these people that are out there that have, you know, like to be fed with the loaves and the fishes, truly, truly, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. See, people show up when there's free food. So Jesus tells us what we should work on, verse 27. Labor, or you can put work. Work not for the meat that perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life. See, that's the love of God. Which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. Verse 28. Then they said unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Now that's the right question to ask. These are unconverted people, but they're asking the right question. And here, brethren, again, is where we find the definition of God's work. Jesus said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. Now Paul calls this a work of faith in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. You can put that in your notes, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. I'll just quote it. remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love. And he equates these, the work of God, the work of faith, the labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father. Now let's continue on in John chapter 6 in verse 30. Jesus is talking to all these people, and he's told them what the work of God is, that you believe on Jesus Christ. And they therefore said unto him, what sign, what miracle are you going to show them that we may see and believe? You work some miracles there, you walk on some water, you heal some people, then we'll believe. What are you going to work? What miracle are you going to do? You see, they wanted to see some miracles. But let's understand this. Jesus had something much better than miracles in mind, if you'd believe it. God's will is to share His very life with us. It's God's desire to share His love with us, His Spirit. And by way of His Spirit, God then shows us how to live and how to grow and how to know God even more. And when we know God, then we're the children of God. Drop down a little bit here in John to verse 38. We're still speaking of the work that the Father does. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, Jesus says, but the will of Him, God the Father, that sent me. And brethren, that's an example for us to do the very same thing. Verse 39. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which He has given me, I should lose nothing, no one, but should raise it up on the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me. And Jesus goes on in verse 40, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on Him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. No one is going to have everlasting life without having put on the love of God. John chapter 4. Jesus said unto them in verse 34, John 4 and verse 34, my food, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. So this work that Jesus Christ began before the foundation of the world with God the Father is going to be finished. Jesus wants to see the work finished. So the subject is not food here, but it's the work of God. He wants to see the work finished. Verse 37, and herein is that saying true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you out to reap whereupon you bestowed no labor. You know, you go out in the field where the grain's already growing, and you didn't plow and you didn't sow or nothing. Somebody else worked there. Other men labored. They worked, and you're entered into their labors. Brethren, you and I, each of us, have come to a knowledge of the work of God because of the labors and sacrifices and love of others. But it's important, brethren, that we do the exact same thing. We're obligated to make the Word of God available to others. Now, not only now, but after our time also, so that others whom God is calling or will call can reap where they've not labored and come to know God. Today, what we're doing it, brethren, not only for ourselves, but for others as well. We are preparing the way for others who will come after us. And if we don't have the love of God, it's not going to amount to a hill of beans. In the not too distant future, people are going to be in the tribulation. Where will they turn? Where will they find the answers? Who will show them? They'll be looking high and low for the Word of God. They might not yet be looking for the love of God in those dire conditions, but they'll want to know what God said. Because there will be an echo in their mind. I've heard this before. These tribulations, these plagues, these armies. They'll want to know the Word of God. The next chapter, John chapter 5, Jesus is speaking of John the Baptist in verse 35. He said, John the Baptist was a burning and shining light. You know, he was a real example. And you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Notice verse 36. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish. Notice, again, God the Father gives Jesus the works to do, and they will be finished. The same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So we see here that Jesus shows that he's working cooperatively with the Father. It's teamwork. And he works for, with the Father and for the Father. And what was the work that God the Father gave Jesus to do? What did Jesus do when he came to the earth? Verse 37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. John 13 and verse 3. You have to turn over quite a few chapters here. John 13 and verse 3. This is at the foot washing, the night before Jesus died. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. You see, God the Father trusted Jesus. Do you and I trust Jesus? And that he was come from God and went to God. And then jump ahead a few more chapters to John 17. Brethren, this is the last night before Jesus Christ dies. He's out there on the Mount of Olives. He's saying his last prayer to his Father. Passover services and foot washing have concluded. Jesus is going to die the next afternoon at 3 o'clock. John 17, in verse 4, Jesus says to his Father, I've glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. God the Father had given Jesus this work. They worked together as teammates. It was all in God's plan from the foundation of the world. So, brethren, let's go over to Revelation 21. I want to jump way ahead. This is after a lot of future things are going to happen. I want to show you that this plan does come to a conclusion. We do put on the love of God. If we're not doing it now, it is high time that we do. Revelation 21 and verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he dwelt with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Brethren, that does not happen until we have become love, as God is love, as Jesus Christ is love. Verse 4, with the love of God in us, everything on this earth will be completely different. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. We see the perfect love of God being exhibited here. For the former things are passed away. Brethren, in the same way, we can hardly grasp the magnificence of the spiritual harvest of the millennium. Think about it. Jesus Christ comes back. He's going to come back soon. This world will be devastated. There will be people who lack the love of God, but Jesus will begin to rule, and he will instill his way, his Father's way, the kingdom of God. It means it's his Father's way. God's love will be instilled in this earth. It will be given. Because we know that it says in Joel 2:28, God's Spirit will be poured out on all men. And that is one of the chief characteristics, if not the chief characteristic, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, of the love of God. Love is the chief characteristic. So, at the end of the millennium, what kind of peace will be over the earth? What kind of prosperity and beauty and love will we see at the end of that 1,000 years of Christ's reign going on? And then we go into the great white throne judgment. And it'll be no different. God's love will be there. And then on beyond, you know, there will be even greater quantum leaps after that. We're in the early stages of the plan of God. There are very few, generally speaking, who have put on the love of God. Revelation 21:5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. See, the old things have passed away. And he said, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Brethren, at that time when he makes all things new, the work of God, the work of Jesus Christ will be done, at least for us, as far as the plan of God on earth is concerned, because we know there are vast heavens, and we don't know what God's plans are for the vast heavens, of the increase of God's empire, of God's government, of God's rule, of God's love. Isaiah says that will never end. Revelation 21 and verse 6. But speaking about us and what God is doing with us on this earth, we read, And he said unto me, It is done. Jesus said, I have fulfilled your work on earth. Now it's all come to fruition. It's all complete. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountains of the water of life freely. Eternal life, eternal love. We will possess God's life. We will be in the image of God. We'll be in his likeness. And that love is far beyond our imagination. We can't picture it right now, brethren. Put this in your notes. Acts 13:41. It talks about a great work that God's going to work, that's going to be so great you can't fathom it. And it's quoting Habakkuk 1 and verse 5 also. Behold, you know, God says, I will work a work in your days. We're talking about the work of God, this teamwork. I'll work a work in your days which you'll not believe. You can't believe it. It's too great, though it's told to you, though it's shown to you. Okay, brethren, I want to show you, let's go back to the resurrection chapter again, 1 Corinthians 15. I want to make a clarification here. You and I are putting on the love of God. If we're not, if somehow, you know, you think love is syrupy, you think it that it's sentimental or something like that, brethren, we need to restudy that. The love of God is God's perfect order, His perfect way, His perfect goodness, the way that God wants things done. There will be no killing, no murder, no stealing, no lying, no coveting. And we'll worship God as He is to be worshipped. That's the love of God. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. Paul is explaining to the Corinthians. He says, then comes the end. We're talking about the plan of God being all done, all finished, as we just saw in Revelation. It is done. Then comes the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Jesus Christ is going to take everything on this earth, all the people, all the salvation, and deliver up the kingdom to God the Father. This is after the millennium. This is after the great white throne judgment. When He shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, that's the evil powers of this earth, and Satan himself. Verse 25, for He must reign until He has put all enemies under His feet. Verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Verse 27, for He has put all things under His feet. Now, Paul, after he said that, he said, you know what? People will twist and turn things if I don't make a clarification here. So he makes a clarification. But when he says all things are put under Christ, when all things are put under Christ, it is manifest that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him. So Paul adds this clarification saying that everything in the whole universe is put under Christ's authority except the Father. The Father is the only exception. The Father is not under Christ. Verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son, that's Jesus Christ, also Himself be subject unto Him that has put all things under Him, that God, that's God the Father, may be all in all. So, brethren, we have come to the point where we've seen this great overall picture. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Just a couple of more scriptures in closing. Paul tells us that we can be confident that God has begun this process with us and He's going to finish it. Philippians 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He, which has begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, we're not going to fall by the wayside. If we make a mistake, if we get discouraged, you know, it's not gone. There might be a day when you say, the love of God is not in me. Someone else might say to you, the love of God is not in you. Don't be discouraged. God will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's close in Hebrews 6 and verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, and that you have ministered and served the saints and continue to serve.